Coming up next on the program, I visit with Scott Woodbury. He's the manager of the Whitmire Wildflower Garden at the Shaw Nature Reserve in Gray Summit, Missouri. Woodbury will be in town next week for a sold-out rain garden learning tour. Rain gardens are water-loving landscape plantings in a home or business setting. Woodbury and I spoke by phone last week, and up next is an excerpt from that conversation about the basics of rain gardening. We've been dry for several days here in mid-Missouri. The predicted rain this evening and later this week would be welcome. Bring it on. My name is Trevor Harris. You're listening to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA.
Shaw Nature Reserve is a part of Missouri Botanical Garden. We are 35 miles west of St. Louis, and we have about 2,500 acres of land, which in 1925 was purchased as the new home for Missouri Botanical Garden. They were planning on moving out here because of pollution at the time, and thank goodness it never happened, and they kept the property out here, and so we've been able to develop the property as a nature reserve instead of a botanical garden.
We've sort of gone through an era now where there's been an increase in consciousness about the value of growing native plants, whether in a home landscape, for institutions, businesses, but there's sort of an extra niche there around wetland plantings of natives. And that's why you'll be here in Columbia Wednesday, July the 12th for a rain garden learning tour.
What I found over the past 26 years of landscaping with native plants and helping people in the community is that nothing has been more significant, nothing has moved the needle of native landscaping more than rain gardening and greener stormwater infrastructure. And the reason is that MSD, Metropolitan's St. Louis Sewer District, has been getting serious about treating stormwater differently than they have historically. Historically, we've moved water through pipes, and we've cleaned them through very expensive pumping and filtration systems. And the name of the game nowadays is to try to treat stormwater at the source, to try to find as many different opportunities at the top of the watershed to capture rainwater, to hold it for a while, encourage the water to move back into the soil. And if lots of people are putting small features in the landscape all across the community, it can make a large impact on how much water moves into those MSD storm drains. And so they've really thought through this, and this is one of the ways that MSD is trying to reduce volume and reduce erosion and velocity of water when there's rain events. When you have plants that have roots going down into the soil, you have pathways for rainwater to move back into the soil. The soil is like a big sponge in a backyard.
If I'm interested in getting into establishing some native plants in a rain garden at home, do you have any recommendations about soil amendments? So before I even put that first plant in the ground, do I need to think about adjusting the soil to improve the rate at which the water percolates through?
Maybe, maybe not. What we recommend is somebody who's considering a rain garden should think about where it could go in their yard first, and it needs to be a minimum of 10 feet away from the foundation of a house or a garage. And once the location is sort of estimated, then we recommend doing a percolation test. And that involves digging a hole 12 inches deep, filling it with water, letting it drain out, filling it up with water again, and then measure how quickly or slowly the water drips, seeps into the soil. And if people can get a quarter inch of drop on the ruler in that percolation test per hour, they have decent enough drainage to develop a rain garden.
where is the best place on the property, not just in terms of the slope, but also the kind of the flow around the house of human movement and pets.
What I recommend to everybody is to start by drawing a plan of the existing yard. And that includes the side yard, the front yard, the backyard. Take the whole property and lay it out on a piece of grid paper where every square is equals about a square foot. And then start adding things, the things you mentioned. Where does the dog tend to go? Where does the family like to walk or sit? Or where do they like to be? What are the features that you have already, if it's a patio or a garage or existing flower beds? What kind of views do you like looking at beyond your property? And what views do you not like looking at? Those kind of come into play when you're trying to decide where to put a garden.
We used to say good fences make good neighbors. Maybe we've modified it for the 21st century. Good rain gardens make good neighbors.
That's right. That's right.
What are your favorite native plants of the now, both in terms of herbaceous plants, shrubs, and trees, if those are even appropriate for a rain garden?
Small trees can be appropriate for a rain garden. I've seen some really big rain gardens, and I've seen some bigger trees being used in those large rain gardens as well. Since we're on trees, I love seeing bald cypress being used in really big rain gardens. They tend to be somewhat upright, and so they tend to fit into smaller spaces. And I see people using a cultivar called Shawnee Brave, which is a really narrow, upright form. The Missouri Botanical Garden has some really nice, large bioretention gardens in the parking lot, and they've got a series of those bald cypress in the parking lot garden. They function really well. They look really great. Perennials that work well. I love orange coneflower, which is Rudbeckia fulgida. The variety Umbrosa is a winner in a rain garden. Shining Blue Star is another winner. And the reason those two perennials work so well is that a lot of the small homeowner natural soil rain gardens can be wet in the spring and in the fall and the winter, but they're usually dry in the summer. And these two plants that I mentioned, these two perennials, the blue star and the orange coneflower, can tolerate drought in the summer. Now, we want to encourage people to water even when it's dry in the middle of summer so that their plants look well, look green and healthy and are thriving. But they can tolerate summer drought very nicely, which is what happens in a natural wetland often. They are wet when it rains and they're dry, especially in drought periods in summer.
That was horticulturalist Scott Woodbury. He's the manager of the Shaw Nature Reserve's Whitmire Wildflower Garden. The reserve is located 35 miles southwest of St. Louis in Grays Summit, Missouri. You can get more information about the plants that Scott Woodbury mentioned here at grownative.org. While Woodbury's Rain Garden Learning Tour next week here in Columbia is sold out, he'll be back in town August 1st talking about the Native Landscape Care Calendar as part of a workshop at the University of Missouri South Farm Research Center. You can get more details and register at grownative.org or drop by the Missouri Prairie Foundation's website. That's moprairie.org. Also, Woodbury mentioned those rules and regulations that are in place in the St. Louis region for improving stormwater management and water quality design. The rules set forth by the City of Columbia can be found in Chapter 12A of our Code of Ordinances. You can find that online by searching at como.gov. If you've got more questions, the city stormwater engineer Tom Wellman encourages you to give him a call at 874-7587. Thanks to Scott Woodbury, Tawny Brown, and her daughter MJ Madison for being guests on the program this evening. If you've been listening to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA, we want to hear your feedback. Let us know what you think and your ideas for future shows. You can connect with us on Facebook. We're there as KBIA's Thinking Out Loud. For the show's executive producer, Darren Helwidge, I'm Trevor Harris. We go out this evening with Irma Thomas. It's raining. It only seems appropriate. Thanks for listening. Have a happy Independence Day, America.